Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that the words that I utter truly reflect you, Lord, that they reflect your glory, that they are not my words, but your words. I ask you to bless them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. As many of you know, I travel down to Tasmania a lot, and I'm going down next Saturday. And because it's daylight saving, it will be dark as we approach the Tasmanian coast. And we come down, if you know Tasmania, down the coast via next to Penguin and Ulverston. However, at one stage, we see a light. It's the lighthouse at Devonport. Now, Devonport, the port's not very big, so the lighthouse is not very big. However, when I see that lighthouse in the darkness, it gives me a sense of arrival, of comfort, of security, knowing where I am now and where I will be very soon. It's perhaps a poor analogy, however, it's one that's very real to me, and I see that light in my life as symbolizing the light of God in a sense, in a spiritual sense, when I think spiritually. So today is the second of the I am statements. As Amy mentioned last week, there are about seven, I think. And last week, Amy preached on I am the bread of life. And this week, the gospel passage was I am the light of the world. Now, it's an interesting statement. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's really important when reading these words of Jesus that we know in what context it took place. And it's the narrative generally is regarded as directly following the Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles. And during that celebration, there's the imagery of water and light, and they were both important symbols in the Jewish tradition. Now, during the ceremony of light or of illumination, in the court of the temple, in the court of the women, as they call it, where a lot of people, Jewish people, congregated, in each of the corners, there were four long torches. It's stated that they're about 75 feet tall. However, young men used to go up via a ladder and light the light at the top of the torches. And it's stated that this light actually illuminated a lot of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. So they were celebrating light, that notion of light, because light in the Jewish tradition had great meaning. As we know, the Jews were reminded of the pillar of light that led them through the wilderness. The saving light of Jesus, the Lord guided them. We also know that rabbis explain that the light was symbolic of God's future Shekinah glory, which was promised to return to Israel with the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah had actually prophesied that in chapter 60, verse 19, you know, the Lord will be your everlasting light and your God of glory. Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would come and he would be the light of the world. Now, the Jews knew Scripture really well, and the Pharisees knew the law and the Scripture. So at this festival of lights, the Jewish people were celebrating the light of God. And there's a lot of joy and laughter associated with this feast. That feast lasted about 8 days. And at the end of that feast, when the light, the torches were put out, and there was a quietness, That is the time that Jesus came into the court of the women, called the court of the women, the inner court. That is where he made this statement, that I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So this situation which he made that statement to the Jews is highly symbolic. Because what Jesus is stating when he says, I am the light of the world, I am stating who, really stating his divinity. When he's stating his divinity, he's actually stating that he's the Messiah. And it was interesting because, you know, the Pharisees had equated, as I mentioned, light with God. And here was God standing in front of them, the Messiah standing in front of them, making this statement. And you'll see later that they go on to reject it. When he makes the statement, as I said, it's very emphatic, it's very profound, it's very decisive, and the timing of it is critical. Because what he's stating is a claim to equality with God. He declares to the Pharisees' presence that he's God in the flesh, the Messiah. And Jesus wanted them and us to believe and treasure these words. Later, Jesus is recorded in chapter 8, verse 40, saying to them, referring to himself as a man has told you the truth. I'm a man has told you the truth. He is telling truth to those around him and to us. So the light of Jesus, what does it bring with it, this light of Jesus? It brings with it spiritual illumination. The light of Christ brings hope and a divine energy, power or influence that proceeds from God through Jesus and gives spiritual life and light and life to all things. The light of Christ represents clarity and possibility of a new beginning. And it provides a source of spiritual guidance and inspiration. And the light of Christ influences people for good and prepares them for his Holy Spirit. And it's said that one manifestation of the light of Christ is what we call our conscience. Having said, I am the light of the world, Jesus then continues, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So that notion of light and darkness has existed in every people group and nation throughout time. And it's a really powerful visual metaphor of good and evil. The light, good, the darkness, being evil. And we know that those that follow Jesus won't walk in spiritual ignorance or blindness or darkness or have darkened human hearts. Because Jesus then goes on and says, but they will have the light of life. That's in verse 12. Now this is a really life-changing verse to know that followers of Jesus, and we are followers of Jesus, that we will have the light of life, as I said, because it offers hope. By following Jesus, who is the light, then we have life. We have spiritual life. As I said, we have insight. And we reflect that light that comes from him. We reflect that light. Why? Because we want to be like him. We want to imitate Christ, and we want to treat situations and people the way that he would. Now, it's interesting that light's not a natural phenomenon. I suppose, of course, if there's a bushfire, you get light. Sorry, I just thought of that. But light is not, it's not a human phenomenon. Something has to start it. But our spiritual light comes from Christ. So to have light is to have Christ. Life equals Christ. And there's no light apart from a right relationship with Him. You know, earthly insight and knowledge will never suffice or give true clarity and understanding to the revelation of God and the things of God. All the earthly insight and knowledge won't give accurate clarity to that. That clarity can only come from God, from the light. And when we follow Jesus, His light opens our eyes and divine light streams into our hearts. In fact, God's light gives us sight to our blind souls, and earthly insight and knowledge are unable to do that. So what are Jesus' instructions to His followers, to us? Also, we read in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus instructs those, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So our light is, the light of Jesus is reflected in us when we imitate Jesus and, as I said, treat people and praise God the way He did. Philippians 2 says, Paul gave instructions to the Christians in Philippi to shine out like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. So as Christ's followers, with the light of Christ, we are well equipped to be shining examples of the lives that we are taught to live by Jesus. Finally, the Pharisees, having heard Jesus state that He was the light of the world, really equating to God the Messiah, what did the Jews do, the Pharisees? We heard in the scripture this morning, they were totally exasperated. And they said, "How do we know this? Who's your witness?" Because they knew the law really well, where anything in doubt required two witnesses to verify a situation. And Jesus says, "My witness is the Father." Well, where is your Father? The Father is in heaven. The Father and I are one. There again, claiming His deity. Because you see, the Jews, they were in darkness. They didn't accept the light of God. They were in darkness and ignorance. So in conclusion, I would ask you, is there any darkness in your life? Or maybe in your heart, or in a relationship, or an aspect of your life? Because Jesus can provide the illumination in those situations. Jesus brings light and life to you in even your darkest moment. And Jesus wants you to choose to actually focus and look on Him. Because if you choose to follow Jesus, you don't need to walk in darkness. So I would encourage you to reach out to the light, and He will replenish you with His light. And then may we all glow in the world around us for His glory. And as a final adjunct, in our own historic church, there are beautiful stained windows. There is one right next to the lectern, and it is of Jesus carrying the lamp. And under it, the inscription says, "I am the light of the world." So I would encourage you, when you have a moment, if you don't frequent the historic church very often, go and have a look at it. Because here in our own church, we actually have something that reflects that. which I think is absolutely amazing. So let us pray. Dear Lord, may we shine and reflect the light of Jesus into our relationships and into the world. May we shine into the darkness around us. We ask you just to bless us, and may we shine even more vividly and strongly as we journey in our relationship with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.